I was like, oh, yeah, this is not a problem. I have one. I have a message in my mind. And, yeah, it shouldn't be that hard to develop this. This is not a problem. Cool. I got this. And it was just in my mind. I hadn't committed it to paper yet. And it seemed, you know, nice and easy and should flow straight out. And I ran into a brick wall on that. I just wouldn't develop. There's two different sets of notes in my notepad about it. And I had started it, and it should be so simple. It's based on the idea, Pastor preached on, or used the idea of attack or defense more than like 2 months ago or something. Was one of his messages, or that's what I got out of it. And I got to thinking about that, and the phrase that the best defense is a good offense. And my mind ran back to an old Bible study called That the World May Know. And in that, the message was about where Jesus is talking to the disciples at, I believe it's Caesarea Philippi. And he says, on this rock, I will build my kingdom. And if I remember the Bible study correctly, the guy who did it said that basically, a lot of times Christians do, we view that and we view it like a fort, but we're on the inside of the fort. It's all defense. You know, the world will not prevail against this church, and it will not overrun us. And then he flipped the script. He said, but the thing is that passage could also be interpreted that the gates of hell will not stand against us, and that we need to be on the attack. And I was like, I was fired up when Pastor told me that, because I mean, he said, hey, you want to preach? And I'm like, got this. God's got a message, and yeah, I got this. And I sat down and I stared at that page for 10 minutes, and nothing. I couldn't work out a single thing past that one paragraph. It's all written out and it's all ready, but my heart would not connect. And I'm like, okay, well, God, I'll have something else. Not a problem. And I just kept working, and I'd come up with this idea. I'd write it down, and nothing would come. And then it's like Saturday, and I'm starting to get a little concerned, like this past Saturday. And I don't have anything written down. And I'm like, okay, God, kind of need you to hurry up on this, because I need to have time to study this out and to figure it out and put it all together. And yeah, and I was just thinking about it, and I was on my way to work, and I was just kind of thinking about all the stuff that's going on at work and everything that's in, you know, the struggles I have. And YouTube Music brought up the song, the Goodness of God. And I started thinking about that song, and that song and I have it's not a history, but when I heard it, every time I hear the goodness of God, it's not that I have to force myself to think that, but a lot of me gets uncomfortable because I have to know that God is good. God is good, even if I'm struggling at the moment. And I got to thinking, many, many, many years ago, a friend had told me that they were struggling at the moment. And a song that they had heard, that they'd sung hundreds of times, came on. And in that moment, they had to know and to lean on that song and the statements in that song with all of their heart. And they had to, even while they were struggling, they had to cling to the song and to hold on to that with everything they had. And I was like, yeah, I've had that thought before, that many times I have to know the verses in the Bible are true because they are in the Bible, even while my head is going, nope, 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 that's not how I feel. You know, I do not feel that God has me in the palm of his hand and that I am safe and secure. I do not feel safe and secure, but my heart is going, yeah, but you are. You're in God's hand, so you are safe and secure. So you may not feel it, but that's okay. You are, and because God said it, you better trust him. And I was like, that usually is one of those, God said it, that settles it. And I'm like, but God, I want to argue. And God says, nope, I'm like, okay, no argument. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, how do I turn that into a message? Because there's really only a few ways you can turn that into a message. And that's, you know, you just unburden yourself and you tell everyone exactly what's going through your head and what exactly your struggles are. And I'm not going to do that. I may be struggling, but and I was like, okay, God, what would you have me do? Because if I'm not going to talk about that, well, then I thought about, the other way would be, how would I have handled anything 15 years ago? If you had told me 15 years ago, if you go to Nevada, in 15 years, you will be up behind the pulpit preaching, and you'll be running the soundboard, and you'll be friends with the pastor, I would have thought you were a liar. And I would have definitely avoided Nevada. I would have been like, nope, not doing that. And that's because, you know, I would know that God is good and that God was powerful, but that's only because the Bible said so, and it wouldn't have comforted me at all because I wasn't in control, and I have to be in control, and I will dictate what I do. And I was like, yep, that's the old Chris. That's the one that God hadn't quite got a hold of his heart yet and hadn't brought him around. You know, 10 years ago, I would have been slightly comforted by that. You know, knowing God's in control. God loves you. He will keep you safe. Or, you know, you are always in his hand. That would have brought me some comfort. And it also, I would have basically then had to have brought myself into line and been like, okay, Chris, you need to calm down. Sit down and pray about this because God's in control. Well, 5 years ago, I would have been comforted and anxious, but, you know, more willing to see where God's gone. And I got to thinking about, you know, how far God has brought me in that time. And I am an engineer at heart. I like to think of stuff in a mechanical sense. Pastor said, you know, that he can pretty much look at a blueprint and see how the house, and like he sees a blueprint and he visualizes an entire house. And I got to thinking about that. Yeah. I mean, when I think of faith, the idea that comes to me is a house. I see the foundations, I see the walls, I see the roof. It's just how my brain breaks it down. I can look at a picture, at a motor, and go, yep, this has to connect, and I break it down into pieces, but it's all one unit. And then I can tie that to other stuff. And when I was thinking about my faith as an image, and, you know, 15 years ago, God had a foundation. You know, I wouldn't deny that. I was Christian, you know, I was following Christ to some extent, and just didn't want him to have control on my life. He can sit over there, I'll sit over here. And that was the foundation. And then God got some walls put up. And I don't know if anyone, I'm trying to remember, I think the book is called Crossroads. It's the same author who wrote, now I forget what the other book's called, but there's a, you know, I'll have to look it up because that wasn't actually in my notes. But in the book, I believe it's Crossroads, the guy talks about having a house. You know, he's, if I remember right, he's like in a coma at the time. And he gets a chance to, you know, see his life, or his life is visualized, I believe, as land. And he sees a small cabin. And God tells him basically, that's the cabin you've given me. Well, in my life, you know, God had a foundation and rudimentary, like, pallet-style walls. Like, I had one growing up for a kid's fort. And then, you know, in time, God just worked on my heart, brought the right friends in, and just changed my heart enough that I built walls, and I knew what, you know, God got walls and a roof, basically. And I got to thinking about the miracle that God has worked in my life. That, you know, like I said, 15 years ago, if you told me I'd be standing here, I would have gone the other way. I definitely would not have come to Nevada. And I don't know where I'd be right now, but I look at that and I'm like, wow, God, yeah, you do an amazing work. And I got to, you know, my mind just kind of then drifted to the times in the Bible when God has led somebody. You know, God told Abraham, go here. And eventually Abraham did get up and leave. It took him a while. But I look at that and I see the struggle that has to come out of that. You know, get up out of your comfort zone. Get up out of where you're safe. Get up and go there. I'm not going to tell you where until you get there. Just go. And that's a lot more faith than I have now. Just to, you know, get up and go follow. And because I can visualize the struggles that would be in that. And then, you know, then I was thinking about, like, well, who else has God led somewhere, either by voice or by, you know, whether he actually told him or not. I mean, we could all say that God has led someone, has led us all. But I, you know, like Gideon, here's a guy who's over here, he's harvesting crops in secret. He's trying to do everything in secret to keep it from the enemy. And God goes, oh, no, how about this? Go take down the altar that's at your dad's house. Knock it over and destroy that. And he does that. And then from there, he gets a group of guys and God goes, no, too many. Try again, you know, lessen the group. And then in the end, the Israelites, after that whole battle, the Israelites come to him and go, we want you to lead us. Now, that's one thing. You know, God saying, go here, do this, is one thing. But then you go from that, from just a little while ago, I was over here in the vineyard threshing grain. Now, the entire nation of Israel is like, you lead us. Yes, you are the man to lead us. That's a movement. I can't picture what would be going through his head at that time. And, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And for me, that is one of the verses I rest in, because I'm not always feeling safe and comfortable. I'm not always where I want to be with God. But if God has the thoughts of peace and not of evil, then okay, I can settle down and follow God where he says. And I got to thinking about, you know, John the Baptist. Imagine that. He grows up and God goes, yeah, I want you to go out in the desert and preach. Me, I would have been like, can't I just preach as my part-time job after I get off work? I'll just go home, change, take a shower, come out, and then I'll preach. And God goes, no, I want you to have, you know, goat hair, and I want you to eat, honey? As I was thinking, it's honey and water. That's quite a diet to be on. And that had to be a different, yeah, that had to be a different calling. Yeah, I mean, you go out there and you know at that point that you're, you know, you have to be where God is. You know, what if you suddenly woke up and you suddenly realized that's not where God wanted you? I don't think you could. Honestly, I think God would have told you a long time before. But the faith to be like, go here and do that. And I mean, and of the disciples, Philip is always going to be my favorite. Because God says, go to where that caravan is. And he goes. I mean, most of the time, I'm the guy going, I need to have faith like that. So Philip is kind of like, well, I do align myself a lot with Peter. I like Pastor's description. Peter has foot and mouth disease. And I'm usually trying to get my foot out of my mouth. But Philip is the one I always have to be, like, he is my role model. God said go, he went. And as uncomfortable as it makes me, I look at that and I go, that is the faith I need to have. Where God says go, you go. God says do this, you do that. God says be here, okay. And in a lot of cases, the apostles just They saw Jesus, got up. I mean, he called them. He got up and left their work. I mean, I think I said in my last message, Matthew probably was fairly successful in his tax collecting. Hated, but successful. Got up and left. And then, you know, I can't imagine that. That's why I hope God doesn't really call me to be a missionary, really. You know, that whole idea of just get up and leave. You know, what if God said, oh yeah, Chris, tomorrow at 8 a.m., I want you to be in Montana. Why? And by the way, I think I need to go get wax out of my ears because I must have heard you wrong. And I just was, you know, that's, God was just, it's an interesting thing to think about how often God has led me somewhere and how far God has brought me. And I actually still don't even want to be preaching this, but when I was thinking about it, one of the things that always I try to use to guide my messages is C.S. Lewis was called on to talk to some clergy, and he told them, when a layman has to preach a message, I think he is most likely to be useful or even interesting if he starts exactly where he is himself, not so much as instructing as comparing notes. And I was like, yeah, but God, I don't want to necessarily compare notes. I'm not in the mood to compare notes. And, you know, but I got to thinking about, you know, what if somebody else has a view on faith and that view, even while I'm talking about it, what if God works on me in such a way that my faith is built? I mean, even studying for this, my faith was, even while I was typing the notes, I'm like, God, I'm going to type these. I don't know if this is what I'm going to speak on. How about that last minute? I'll show up to church and you just give me a completely different message. That'll work, right? Because I don't know if I want to preach on this. But I stand in awe of what God has done in my life and what he has built in my life. Because that idea of taking it from a foundation and taking the struggles and the trust I have to have in him and building that up into a house, into a house that only glorifies him. I look at that and I see only what God has done in my life and what God has the power to do. And in Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that, you know, the idea of things working for the good, for the glory of God, is I think what I always need to be working for. Whether I like it, whether I'm comfortable, and whether I'm safe, that doesn't matter. Is this working for the good of God, for the glory of God? Is my life to his glory? Sorry, that's a bit short, but that was the message. So unfortunately, all you who have teenagers are still stuck here for 40 minutes. So, any discussion or any talk?